This is HPR episode 2051 entitled, My Linux Journey, and is part of the series, How I Found Linux. It is hosted by first-time host Tony Humacker, Tony H1212, and is about 12 minutes long. The summary is, this is a short show where I talk about how I started to use Linux.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
This is my first recording for HPR. My name's Tony Hughes. Some of you may have heard me before on Full Circle podcast, which I did with a couple of members of my Linux user group a few years ago, but we've not recorded anything for that for a while. When Ken sent out the appeal for new recordings, I thought, I've got to do something. So I thought I'd talk about my journey to Linux. I started using Linux in about 2006, but my journey to experimenting with something that at the time I didn't think was very user-friendly started in the early 90s. Late 80s actually. I first started using computers when I went back to college in 1987. And I used a 286 at college for CAD/CAM design. I subsequently went on to get a job, but computers didn't really take much place at work until the early 90s when I started working in health and social care and started having to input data onto Windows 3.1, and then subsequently Windows 95. Around about 1992, we got a home computer, but that was for my wife, and that had Windows 3 on it. And she did a dissertation on that computer. But I didn't get a more modern computer until the late 90s when I went back to university. And I started working on computers at the college, so I decided I needed one at home. And by then, internet access was starting to become more something that you could use at home. So I went out and I spent £1,400 on a Pentium 2 350. With Windows 98. It had 128 mega RAM. And a 6 gig hard drive, which was pretty good at the time, even though Pentium 3 chips were around. That wasn't bad. They were, you know, Pentium 3 chips were actually a bit more top end and out of my price bracket at the time. But subsequently, I started getting into what I could do on the computer, started doing a bit of extra stuff other than word processing and accessing the internet. And I had a couple of friends who who built or, you know, upgraded their own computers, and they got me into tinkering, and I added one or two things to my computer and eventually got a new computer built for me, which I continued to tinker with. In 2005, I moved from London back up to the northwest where I live now, and I had an old computer of my mum's given to me, and that was a Pentium 2 300, And I thought, oh, well, I'll have a tinker with this and see what I can do with it. By then, it was getting a bit long in the tooth. But I'd been reading a popular computer magazine here in the UK called Micromart. And they had a page called Beginner's Linux at the time. And I'd been hearing about Linux. And eventually, I got this thing working and I stuck around about 2006, I think it was, by the time I started faffing around with this computer. And I got it working with Xubuntu. Managed to get hold of a copy of Xubuntu and stick that on it. And although it was quite a low power machine, like I say, it only had, I think it had 128 mega RAM, but I upgraded it to 256, and it was a small hard drive. But actually, with Xubuntu on it, it ran quite smoothly. And I thought, oh, it's not too bad, this. But at the time, I was still a regular Windows user. By now, I was on XP. I had a Pentium 4 2.8 at the time, and my machine was strictly Windows XP, and I didn't want to muck about with that because I used it quite regularly. I'd also, when I came up north, I'd managed to get cable broadband, so I had the massive speed of 2 megabytes or 2 megabits, I should say, of download speed, which was pretty good. So it did make it feasible to download ISOs, but they were still relatively long-winded in getting down if you were talking about 600 meg or 700 meg for an ISO. I started experimenting with one or two different Ubuntu distros and a couple of other. Linspear was still around, and they had a distribution that was free called FreeSpear, and I played around with that. That was a Debian based distribution, and it was quite user friendly, and you could download codecs and stuff from there. App Store, can't remember what it was called now, but it was quite good. It was quite user friendly and easy to use. But in the end, I moved away from that and moved on to Ubuntu or its derivatives full time. In 2007, I went back to uni, and during the summer break, I had a bit of a sabbatical before I went back in September 2007. And during that sabbatical, I decided to see what FreeCycle could offer and whether I could build some computers out of spares I could get on there. And I subsequently managed to put together a few computers, and I gave them away with Xubuntu on them, and they were quite well received, actually. So the following year, I did a similar thing during the summer break, still using Xubuntu because it was quite low weight and easy to get working. I discovered the Medibuntu packages, so you could get all the codecs and everything working, DVD out of the box and all that kind of stuff. And I also started to experiment with dual booting on my home PC. So I used to run Ubuntu on my PC alongside Windows XP. And gradually over the next 12 months or so, I found myself more and more using Ubuntu and less using XP. Started to experiment with the different alternatives to software in Ubuntu, and found that most of them were really good. I use things like GIMP for photo editing and things like that. Obviously, at the time it was LibreOffice. It was OpenOffice, but now I use LibreOffice. But there were a number of different programs that I managed to find that replaced all the software that, or most of the software I was using in Windows XP. And then in spring 2009, I had a massive crash of my computer. And luckily I didn't lose any data because I was able to use a live CD to rescue the data that was on the hard drive. But when I reinstalled the computer, I just reinstalled Ubuntu. I didn't put Windows XP back on it. and my home computer's been a Linux box ever since. I currently run a Lenovo ThinkCenter, they call it. It's a dual core 2.6. It's a good number of years old, but it does everything I want it to do, and that currently has Linux Mint 17.3 on it. So over the years, I've also managed to persuade several different people that Linux is the way forward. I've got a bit of a reputation of being a computer fixer, and several people come along and ask me to help them with the computers, and quite often they've got dodgy software on it and no license or whatever, and I say, well, I'll do it, but I can't put Windows XP or at the time, or whatever the current version of Windows is, I can't put that back on. I'll have to and I explain to them about Linux and offer them Linux Mint, and several people have said, yeah, that's fine, and I've shown them a laptop of mine with Linux Mint on it, and they've liked it, and they've said, well, what do I do to use that? And so I've showed them the different software alternatives and showed them how to install software. So I've ended up putting Linux Mint on several PCs for family and friends, and I can't think of anyone out of the, you know, half a dozen or so people that I've done that for that have reinstalled XP on the machine. My wife currently uses a dual boot machine because her machine was an XP box, and of course when support for that was stopped about 12, 18 months ago, she decided to let me upgrade her to a dual boot so that she could still use some of the software that she uses in Windows, but she can securely access the internet for things that she needs through the Linux. And again, gradually she's found that Linux meets more and more of her needs and doesn't necessarily use the now she's got Windows 7, but she doesn't use Windows 7 that much at all. So that's my journey to using Linux as an operating system. I think I'll probably do another one of these in the future about what I keep in my geek bag. I'm quite heavily involved in the Raspberry Pi community locally, and I keep quite a bit of stuff in my computer bags in various forms. So maybe I'll do one of them in the next couple of weeks. But thanks for listening, and it's goodbye from me for now. Thanks.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.